Welcome to the Fantasy Aches and Takes Podcast, where two physical therapists will be discussing injuries to your fantasy football players so you can stay ahead of the curve and dominate your leagues. They'll be taking the time to explain the injuries and when you can expect your players to be back on the field. As always, thanks for tuning in. And here's your hosts, Aaron Berger and Chris Erickson.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Aches and Takes podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Aaron Berger, a physical therapist here in Pittsburgh, PA. And with me, joining me from an airport because he's that dedicated to the show, is Chris Erickson.
That's right. I'm in Dallas, Texas, waiting to come home to Omaha, Nebraska. I just spent a great weekend in Florida with some amazing physical therapists, occupational therapists, healthcare entrepreneurs, at an elite mastermind. Aaron knows this group, but it's part of the SSPT, Smart Success Physical Therapy. It was an amazing time down there in Florida. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch as many of the games as I wanted to. A little tired. I probably had a few too many drinks and a little too much sun, but I'm ready. This first week of football here was some fire. There was some fun stuff that happened. We had one tie for sure.
A couple of
blowouts. Browns did not win, so all the hype is wrong so far.
Right.
and your Steelers, some look like trash. We're just gonna skip right over that.
It was tough waking up this morning, Chris. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I just caught, because that was the night when I caught the end of that. When we got done with our stuff, we had a dinner or supper thing last night, and then when I got back, I was like, oh, that's not a good score. That's not looking good.
No, and our dude Kyle Rice, who you know is a big Steelers fan, I'm sure he was sick about it as well.
Yep, he was down there. Yeah, he was there. I did talk to him a little bit. And can you believe that my wife texted me something from a sports writer? It might have been like Mayock or somebody had predicted. They're like, okay, watch. Antonio Brown's going to be cut from the Raiders, and guess who's going to pick him up? The Patriots. And this was like 2 or 3 days before it happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that. It's just so predictable.
Yep. And any free agent that has a troubled past, Bill Belichick's going to pick him up and sign him on to the Patriot way, which all the credit in the world to Josh Gordon, man. I love seeing that guy succeed after all of his internal struggles.
And he did play quite a bit yesterday, didn't he? I think I saw him.
He had a great game. I think he had 6 or 7 catches and a touchdown. I'm not sure what his yardage was, but whenever he's on the field and healthy and mentally there, I mean, there's few in the league that have the pure athletic ability that guy has. But speaking of athletic ability, we're going to go out to Kansas City, talk a quarterback that took the league by storm last year, actually won the MVP. We're talking about Pat Mahomes, who is dealing with a left medial ankle sprain. I saw the video. And we've talked about this, Chris. Commonly, it's the lateral ankle sprain, which is on the outside of the ankle. But just the way his ankle got rolled up on, it looks more like a medial ankle sprain, which involves the deltoid ligament. And Andy Reid says it's minor, but it's definitely going to be something to monitor. Just watching his game tape from after that injury, it's so easy to hide an injury. He wasn't able to plant on that left foot, but his arm's just so strong that it's just so easy to hide. But we'll see. He'll do some stuff to calm it down, inflammatory process. Yeah, but he's going to play in week two against Oakland. I don't really have any concerns. They'll tape it up.
No, none.
He'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll get him going right away. They might even put him in a bit of a boot, and they'll start getting some treatment on that. Today, they'll work on it. They probably worked on it all day today, so he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, at this point, he doesn't need his – he doesn't need really any practice reps. It's just making sure he's as close to 100% as they can get for week two.
Yep.
We were talking about blowouts in the introduction, Chris. This guy here was a part of one just on the opposite side. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, who was seen wearing a soft wrap on his throwing wrist after their embarrassing loss to the Titans.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was the hype. That was the big talk. And they laid kind of played an egg. I mean, all that offensive firepower.
They did. Not really there. And I love Delaney's Walker's quote after the game. You got to line up and play football, you know. Doesn't matter how much.
It's not played on paper.
X-rays for Baker came back negative. It's just being reported as a bruise. But from a starting hand, so you have to wonder how well he'll be able to push the ball down the field in week two with the Jets. But just like Mahomes, he's going to be out there. He's another young guy, kind of took the league by storm in the second half of last year. But like I said, week one's a week of overreaction. I'm sure the Browns will be just fine once they get
figured out. Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to tell, you know, from the preseason. You just don't know who's going to be good because none of the starters play really at all. So it's very difficult to tell. And he'll be all right.
Yeah. A guy that won't be all right for a few weeks here is quarterback Nick Foles for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They went out and signed this guy to a big contract as a backup for the Eagles for 3 to 4 years. MVP. Everybody loves some Nick Foles, but unfortunately, he was taken down by Chris Jones yesterday. He got a broken clavicle or collarbone. He underwent surgery today on September 9th, and the Jaguars placed him on IR and won't be able to return until week 10. Your collarbone, it's just that bone right in front of your shoulder there, easily fractured. It's probably one of the more commonly fractured bones in the body. Usually uncomplicated.
Yeah, remember back to Tony Romo, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually a pretty uncomplicated fracture. And if we're just looking at the common person, they're not going to do surgery. But to heal it up and make sure that it heals just the way that they want it to, most athletes want to go surgery and repair a broken collarbone. The Jaguars actually signed Josh Dobbs from my Steelers for a fifth-round pick. And as far as I can tell, for week two, Gardner Minshew is going to be the starter. And he didn't look too bad coming in for Nick Foles. He actually held with the Chiefs a little bit. But we're definitely going to downgrade Leonard Fournette. And that Jaguars passing attack, as far as the receivers are concerned, was kind of mismatch. You didn't know who was going to take off. D.D. Westbrook did well. D.J. Chark did well.
Yeah, number one. Who's the number one? Yeah. I think you made a good point on the surgery part. So, regular people like us, if we fall and break that collarbone, or the clavicle is the bone we call it, we're not going to do surgery on that typically. That's just going to be braced and it'll heal. But with these guys, they're going to go in and they're going to put a little plate and make sure the edges of those bones touch real nice, real good blood flow to speed that recovery, but also give it some extra strength around that healing bone. So when the bone breaks, the body will pretty quickly start to put a callus around the outside of that bone. It gets a little thicker, and then your body will start making new bone tissue and laying that down, trying to fill in that crack. When you put that little plate there, it just gives that extra stability and heals a little bit faster. And for these guys, it's worth that. You know, a few weeks quicker is worth it, where you and I would just let it roll and it'll be fine in, you know, 8 weeks or so. But was it his left or right? Was it non-throwing or throwing shoulder?
Good point. It was his left. So we're going to talk about a guy. Yeah, so that's actually a really good point, because the collarbone is actually really involved in the shoulder mechanics. So if it was his throwing shoulder, I would definitely be concerned for the later half of the year. But considering it's his left, a little less concerned, but still something to monitor here.
He's going to be back, though, because it's his non-throwing shoulder.
Yeah.
As soon as that bone gets a pretty good callus and starts sticking together, they'll look on x-ray every couple weeks and kind of take a look at it and peek, and then they have that steel plate there to help hold it. But the risk you run, and I think that's we mentioned earlier, was that Tony Romo situation where when you have those plates in there, then the weak spots become on the edge where the plate stops and it kind of pushes against the bone. The next time he gets dumped or he falls on his shoulder and kind of gets compressed, there's a chance he breaks that collarbone again in a different spot. And then that could be, you know, that's worse. But
yeah,
for these guys, it's you know, it's worth it to get back out there and play. And I think we'd probably be safe with saying about 6 weeks, would you say, for that one?
So they actually placed him on the IR, so he's not even able to return until week 10. So that's
So they're going to play it a little bit safer.
Yeah, so that'll be the first week he's eligible to come back. We might as well keep him out longer than that. But yeah, since they elected to put him on IR, week 10 at the minimum.
Okay.
All right.
Boy, so it's hard to say because they have a pretty good defense. They had a chance. There were some people that kind of picked them you know, to do some things in their division. This really hurts. That hurts that team, but
yeah, especially with the Andrew Luck retirement, that division was kind of up for grabs. But Houston seems to be the favorite now.
For sure, for sure.
All right, we're going to head up to Cincinnati talking about a running back that goes by the name of Joe Mixon. He's dealing with a left ankle sprain, pretty common mechanism of injury, got rolled up on during a tackle. Compared to Patrick Mahomes, who it was a medial ankle sprain, which is on the inside of the ankle. This is your more common lateral ankle sprain. We're looking at the ATFL, which is the most commonly sprained ligament in the ankle. Good news, though, MRI results came back clean, and he actually might play in week two against the 49ers. We're going to check the practice reports as usual, and limited practices in the regular season. Good news here for Joe Mixon, in a struggling Bengals offense at times. It helps with the Seahawks for sure.
Yeah, it's grade one's not too big a deal. Just a stretch, no major, major fibers torn. It's going to be sore, a little bit of swollen, but I think just check back in on him. But he should be good to go.
Yeah, for sure. Heading out to Washington. We're looking at Darius Geis, who just seemed he had a big thing in the preseason about how he's not injury prone. Yeah, and what do you know?
We just covered him. In the running back preseason stuff.
Yeah. Thankfully, though, in week one, he injured his right knee, which is not the one that he had ACL reconstruction surgery on. But, Chris, you know this. If you have an ACL reconstruction, there's an increased chance for injury not only on the side where you had the torn ACL, but also on the other side, just with the biomechanics of the body and how the body can compensate after an injury like that. But it's being reported
that first year back, he may not have, quite the power – and explosiveness in the surgical leg, and so his non-surgical leg is going to take a little bit more of that of cutting and powerful running and sprinting. So that's too bad. It looks like he maybe hurt his meniscus on the inside.
Yeah, so he's dealing with a meniscus injury, and that meniscus is just a shock-absorbing piece of cartilage that sits on your tibia, which is your lower leg bone. Just distributes forces, provides an attachment point for different structures in the knee as well. But it actually really matters where the tear is within the meniscus itself. The outer third of the meniscus has the best blood flow, and then the blood flow just kind of decreases as we move closer to the knee joint. Depending on where that tear is, it's going to depend where they're going to do surgery or not. And if you remember to last year, the guy we just talked about, Joe Mixon, actually had a meniscus tear, and he ended up being the AFC rushing leader. So it just depends what they're going to do here. They haven't made any word whether they're going to attack it surgically or conservatively. Wow. we're looking at a return to play anywhere between 3 to 6 weeks, and that's very fluid depending on if they're going to do surgery on it or not.
Yeah. The size of the tear, like you said, the size of it and where it is very important. Sometimes they can kind of get them to lay back down and treat those conservatively, and sometimes – again, for those guys, it's just a different mindset and aggressiveness with their treatment. They may at times just go in quick arthroscopically, which just means a couple little holes, and clip that bad boy out of there, and then they're back in, 3 weeks. I mean, sometimes they can come back pretty quick if it's a minor little tear. Where you or I would probably just say, hey, I can just work on that conservatively and get that to heal down. Depending on where it is, and like I said, the blood flow is a big issue with the meniscus.
For sure. Here's an injury that you actually love to talk about, and I love the way that you explain it, Chris. We're looking at Tevin Coleman out in San Francisco with a high ankle sprain.
Okay.
If you want to talk about the how a high ankle sprain is a little bit different than a lower ankle sprain, and just how much more serious it is for athletes.
Yeah, we've covered a couple of them in the past, even last year, I think, with James Conner and stuff up there. When you have the two ankle bones, the inside ankle bone and the outside ankle bone, they are held together at the bottom with a very tight band of tissue between the bones that keeps that guy together. When you get tackled from behind and your foot kind of turns out to the side, and you're kind of landed on it looks awkward. You can usually tell right when it happens on TV. You can usually see it and call it. It's a high ankle sprain. And then the little bone that's underneath of your leg bones, it's the first bone in the ankle, that talus kind of acts as a wedge, and it tries to push the two other bones apart. So when you have a tear in that syndesmosis, it is quite painful to bear weight, to stand on, to walk on, to run on, and you can't really tape for that. Like you can with a lateral ankle sprain or a medial one to stop the movements of the, what we call inversion or eversion, where the ankle rolls in and rolls out. with a high ankle sprain, you're just not a really easy way to tape that, or effective way.
Yeah, and it's almost as you weight bear through that ankle, it's just like separating it even more.
It wants to separate. Yeah, it wants to try like a wedge in a log. Like when you're splitting, it wants to just separate the two bones apart.
There it was. I knew you were going to bring that analogy. I was trying to get you there.
There we go.
We're going to move to wide receivers now. An electric player for said Pat Mahomes,
Tyreek Hill. This one was fun. This is a cool one to talk about.
Yeah. So Tyreek Hill, we're looking at a posteriorly dislocated clavicle at the sternoclavicular joint. So everyone's
heard a lot of fancy words. Yeah, it's a lot of fancy words. Break it down.
So your clavicle, which we talked about earlier on in the episode, is just your collarbone. And right where it meets your breastbone or your sternum, that's called the sternoclavicular joint. Okay. So that clavicle, where it meets that sternum, if it's dislocated backwards, which is towards the body, towards the lungs, this is actually really rare and it's pretty serious because you have to think about the structures that are in there. You look at the esophagus, the trachea, any of the large vessels, like the subclavian, brain artery, everything like that that's in that area. And this becomes from a musculoskeletal injury to a life-threatening injury. If that clavicle, which if you think about it, if it's fractured and it gets dislocated, it is sharp, ripping through that those tissues. So this could be a medical emergency. And Tyreek Hill was actually, he actually went to the trauma unit and they had an ortho trauma physician check him out. Thankfully, didn't have anything wrong as far as red flags are concerned. They ruled out all the impingement on those structures. But yeah, if you've never seen this, right, Chris? This is so
No. This is typically something you see in a car accident. I mean, high trauma that it takes a strong force into the chest, into that higher up, upper chest by the shoulder, pushing backwards. And yeah, you're right. He's had this. I think he stayed the night, to make sure, because there's a chance that he could be very seriously injured with something like that. There's not a lot of movement in that joint. It spins a little bit when we move our arms. It kind of rotates just a little bit. And it's a very strong joint. There's a bunch of ligaments around that thing that kind of hold that together. But typically only in high force, high velocity, like a car accident, which these guys, as fast and as strong as they are, it's kind of like little mini car accidents. So, I don't remember ever seeing one or even hearing about it in the last few years. I can't come to my mind or memory of a player that had a posterior SC joint dislocation. I don't recall.
Yeah. And with him out, we're looking at Sammy Watkins. His value is just through the roof. He looks healthy. He looked like a dang gazelle on a catch and run touchdown. I think it's 70 something. But yeah, if you picked up Sammy Watkins, you're going to be sitting pretty here until Tyreek Hill comes back in about 2 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, heading out to Pittsburgh. We're looking at Juju Smith-Schuster. This is a real quick one. I guess he underwent x-rays on his foot during the last drive against the Patriots. X-rays were negative, so we're just looking most likely at a bone bruise, just looking at pain control here. He's going to play in week two, nothing to worry about. Heading down to Miami, we're looking at Albert Wilson. Their slot receiver dealt with a hip labral dysfunction last season and all through the offseason. It was kind of questionable if he was even going to be out there for week one just with his limited practice status. But he left the game in week one with a calf injury. We're just likely looking at a calf strain here. Just depends where the tendinous unit it is, just as far as re-injury is. If it's in that muscle belly itself, we're getting better blood flow, quicker recovery. If it's closer down towards that Achilles tendon, a la Kevin Durant, maybe a chance of re-injury here. So I'm sure they're going to take it easy with Albert Wilson. The Dolphins, no offense, truly have nothing to play for. They're in full tank mode. So who knows where their season's going to go? But
and the calf, for a receiver with the power they have to put shuff on and jump and change direction and sprint. It's when he really tries to explode, it's going to have a trouble with that, even at a grade one for a couple weeks until it has a chance to start down.
Yeah, so we're likely looking at a grade one or a grade two strain, the return to play being anywhere from 1 to 5 weeks, depending on the severity. But like we were talking about earlier, two limited practices in a row usually means that they're going to play, so always be checking the practice reports to see who's limited and who's full.
for sure.
Heading out to LA, another guy that I don't see missing any time. It sounds like it was just a cramp, but that's the young talented wide receiver Mike Williams. He told reporters after the game he felt his knee tighten up during the fourth quarter. That just sounds like trademark cramping to me, Chris. And just a guy that's kind of been injury prone during his college days and really part of his NFL career. Just I'm sure everyone's just hypersensitive to any time that he feels some ache or pain. If you remember, he actually had a fractured C6 vertebrae in college during the first
game. Number two is welcome.
As he came into the NFL, he was dealing with a pretty bad herniated disc, and they had to do surgery on that. But he's likely to play in week two.
Oh, man.
As a line for this, number three is welcome.
Yeah, that's, yeah, keep him healthy.
Yep. And the collarbone was the popular thing to fracture this week, as Devin Funchess also came to that. He had surgery on Monday, just as Nick Foles did, to repair the collarbone. He's placed on IR, and like Nick Foles, won't be eligible to return until week 10. I didn't see which one it was, but just being a receiver, there's going to be a little bit more rehab that goes into this.
Yeah, because of the reaching. He has to reach up high and snag balls.
Sure. So we're looking at more targets for T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, and like I said, won't be back until week 10 at the earliest. So I think it's safe to drop Devin Funchess, and we're going to increase the stock on T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, all the pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably available in a bunch of leagues anyway. I can't imagine Funchess was a highly drafted player. So
yeah, he has rocks for hands, so I certainly did not draft him. Heading up to the concrete jungle, the New York Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard placed in the concussion protocol today, September 9th. And Chris, like we talked before, concussions are just they're that chemical cascade that's as a result of the blow to the head. We're looking at light sensitivity, nausea, forgetfulness, headaches, stuff like that, and just the increased awareness in the league for concussions. They have the whole protocol now, and it used to just be sit in a dark room until your symptoms go away. But now with coming out, they're going to expose him to activities if his symptoms are okay and just see how he's reacting to it. But depending on the severity, we're looking at 1 to 3 weeks. He could be out there in week two, but week three is probably more likely.
Yeah, that's actually a good point that people understand that when you have the concussion, even if you're symptom-free, at rest, like, okay, I don't have, I can concentrate, I don't have a headache, you have to expose that person to different levels of intensive exercise and movement. So you start off pretty low with light jog, light movement, any symptoms. No, okay, move up to the next level. Until they can perform everything they need to do in a game, sprinting, stopping, all the hard stuff that involves football without symptoms, and they have to be completely symptom-free before they will consider letting them come back in the game.
That's a good point, Chris. And we just have one tight end. Usually the tight end is more of a populated field with injuries, but thankfully not too much going on in week one. We just have Will Disley out in Seattle. Had a great start to the season last year, but he actually ruptured his quad tendon in week three of 2018, but made his long-awaited return for Seattle, and unfortunately injured his surgically repaired knee. We're awaiting results on that. I didn't get to see the video or anything like that, so we can only hope for the best. Hopefully nothing serious. Hopefully it's just a flare-up. Nick Vannett is now the tight end in Seattle.
Yeah, I did not see that either.
Yeah, so we're looking at Nick Vannett as the tight end in Seattle, but they're not passing enough to support a tight end anyway, so he's definitely not worth a flyer for me. Sorry, Nick Vannett.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, I only caught this a brief bit of it because during when I was in class and working on some things, but it was Christian McCaffrey, and he leaped one of the Rams players, and his knee caught the guy in the side of the helmet. And you could tell that he had knocked that defensive back out because the way he fell, the way he kind of went to the ground and was not able to move. But something must have – I've never seen this either. Something must have cracked the helmet because he was bleeding from the side of his head.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, you have to check that out. I think it was Eric Weddle, I believe, was the defender. I can recognize his face. Usually he has the beard and stuff. But Christian McCaffrey tried to hurdle someone. He did. When Christian Whittle put his head down, the top of McCaffrey's knee just really, I mean, hard contact into the side of Whittle's head. And when they got his helmet off, they had towels all around his head, and he was bleeding the whole thing. So I'm like, oh, I didn't get a chance to check into that. But I'm wondering if that was because the side of the helmet broke, something cut him, or if it was like blood from his from his ear.
That's tough.
I've never seen that either. So that was an interesting week.
Yeah. Well, they did show those pictures of Christian McCaffrey looking like the Incredible Hulk during the preseason. So he was definitely working on his quads in the weight room. But hope for the best for Eric Weddle, man. He's a good player, good dude. And he's had a late career kind of revival here with the Ravens last year, and hopefully he can put it together for the Rams this year.
Absolutely.
But that puts a cap on our week one wrap up. Chris, you have any additional points or comments from week one?
No, I just wondering how your team was doing since it's a fantasy show. How are you making out so far, week one?
So we'll talk about my big league. I have Kamara going right now, but he Breeze and Latavius Murray's on his bench. So I have Kamara versus Breeze and Hopkins tonight. Hopkins has two touchdowns for him. I'm projected 135. He's projected 134. So it's going
to
be a
sweat. Oh boy, this is going to be. Okay, you got something to watch for then.
Oh yeah, well I'm watching here once we get off. But how about you? How'd you do this weekend?
And two of them, I forecast some wins, and then two of them I forecast probably a loss. You know what I didn't? I played the wrong people in one of them. Alshon Jeffrey had a pretty good game, and I did not play him. So a couple of bench mistakes that I sat guys that scored more points than my starters, and that happens. It's week one.
Yeah, that happens.
I have Tyreek Hill, so that's a little bit disheartening. My only big loss there of this the guys we talked about this week was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, go out and get Mecole Hardman. He's another burner for the Chiefs, and somebody has to catch these passes, you know.
Ooh, all right. I like that's a good tip. Hardman.
Yep, Mecole Hardman.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
If Sammy Watkins is not taken, I'll take him.
There you go. All right, that's it. Aaron Berger and Chris Erickson signing off for the Fantasy Aches and Takes podcast, week one wrap up. We'll be hitting you guys again after week two. Might be doing a show before week two, just kind of updating all these guys. We'll see if we can get together for that. But for Chris Erickson, I'm Aaron Berger. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you real soon.